Our first speaker for this afternoon is Nick Lunan. Nick.
Thank you, Jack. I want to thank you for your kind invitation. You have no idea what it means to me personally to be here. I've looked forward to this day with great anticipation for a long time. And when I received the letter, your letter of invitation, that was a very, very special day for me. And you know, Jack is such a joker. At the bottom of the letter, he said, "I hope you will accept." As though there was any doubt. I have been so impressed with this process and the contribution that each of you have made to it. You know, I've been a keen observer, and I can tell you that whatever the outcome, no one can find fault with this process. And I want to thank each of you. And there's much I'd like to say about that, but today is not the time. I want to give you three reasons why I think you should seriously consider Preferential Plus, the AV-SDV option. First, because it is made in BC. There is no system like it anywhere in the world. This was designed to suit our vast geography, polarized politics, and governing institutions that are in need of improvement. It was developed with input from scores of people across the province over many, many years. It truly is made in BC. Second, Preferential Plus is enormously flexible. It can serve the Lower Mainland equally as the North and everything in between. You know, and your member, Wilf, the man from Buick, can go back home and say, "Look, at every opportunity I told him, don't even think about enlarging our riding." And we got what I asked for. And his neighbors will say, "You mean the Lower Mainland folk listened and gave in?" And Wilf will say, "No, because they too got what they wanted." And that is possible because of the flexibility of this system. No one of you need to leave this great historic assembly feeling that you were asked to sacrifice something or give up something. That's the advantage of this system. Third, you can speak about this without ever mentioning proportional representation. My submission runs 17 pages. I never use those words, except once, where it says right in the beginning, "This is not proportional representation. Votes are for candidates, not for parties. Nominations are conducted at the local riding level, not at the party head office. The results are not fully proportional." But you know, and this is the essence. Proportional representation empowers parties. Preferential Plus empowers people. You know, proportional representation always provokes and evokes fears of small parties, splinter groups that have too much power, of instability, of weak government, and whether warranted or not, that is the perception. So don't even go there. Stay away from it. You know, following your final decision, you don't want a headline in the Vancouver Sun that says, "Assembly selects or recommends proportional representation." Because immediately it would draw out all the standard criticisms, and you would be on the defensive. A much more favorable way to get out of the gate is to say, to have a headline that says, "Assembly selects made in BC system." If you can't speak of this as proportional representation, how do you talk about it? Well, you'll go home and say, people, we looked at all the systems in the world, found none that really suits our province, and therefore we selected the best of several and designed one to suit our unique needs. How does it work? If you're Joanne Vandermeulen from Smithers, it's simple. Joanne will say everything stays as is, except on your ballot, instead of putting an X behind one name, you will rank candidates, just as was done in 52-53. If you're from Surrey, you'll say, currently, we have 7 ridings returning 1 member. Under this proposal, we will have 1 riding returning 7 members. To see how it works, you look at the ballot, the sample ballot, and you'll explain that each voter will have just 1 ballot. You'll just be helping to support 1 candidate. And that each of the existing ridings will always retain sufficient numerical strength to elect their own MLA, if people are so minded. And that, therefore, local representation is not in any way diluted. Someone will ask, why did you recommend this? What is so good about it? What do you hope to accomplish? The answer is fourfold. This system is designed to get and to have the potential, that's very important, the potential for some great democratic reforms. 4, effective local representation, less party discipline, accountable government, and a less polarized politics. And it's those 4 values that unite our people across this province. Those are the kind of things people want. And across the political spectrum. And it will unite us on May 17th next, so that we will not only meet, we will exceed the 60-60 hurdle. Someone will say, I like it. How soon can we expect all these good things to happen? And here, you have to be careful, you have to be realistic, and you have to be modest. Because the fact is that no one knows. And there are no guarantees in any of this. What we do know is that what we have fails us miserably on all 4 of these very important values. And we know that more things would have to happen other than changing the voting system. But by selecting the right voting system and by changing the voting system, you create the possibilities for other additional democratic initiatives to take place. And we do know, and I passionately believe this, that as long as you leave the voting system as is, many of these other democratic initiatives will not take place. So, this is well worth doing. In fact, this is the most exciting democratic initiative since 1892, when Sir Sandford Fleming stood before the Canadian Institute in Toronto and called for STV. Why? In order to enable Parliament to hold government accountable. During those 112 years, we have not heard the voice of the people, and we have not addressed our democratic deficit. And the reason is that political parties will always follow what is in the best interest of political parties. For 112 years, until now, because we now have a citizens' assembly, we now have a mechanism to hear the voice of the people. You are the voice of the people, and I urge you to make it heard, to speak unitedly, to decide unanimously, and to stand up for the interests of the people. You know, responsible government came to Canada in 1848 by way of Nova Scotia. We have lost it, except in name. And this is my dream, that starting in 2009 in Victoria, we will have the essence of accountable, responsible government. And that from here, it will move east and come to permeate Ottawa. Because make no mistake, the greatest democratic deficit is not in Victoria. It's in Ottawa. That is where the greatest lack of accountability in government occurs. But we need to start here. But that is why your task is so important and so significant. Because what you do will have repercussions for years to come. I urge you to speak unitedly and to speak for the people. And when you do, you will thereby affirm the hopes and aspirations of countless British Columbians and Canadians who long for a more robust democracy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nick. Questions from members? Yes, Art.
You've spoken very eloquently on this, and you've given us the upside. But what is the downside?
Maybe you have to be a bit more specific. The downside of preferential plus, or the downside of changing away from first past the post?
Probably both.
You're not making it easier, Art. You know, I'm such a champion of change. I'm not the right person to ask about the downside. I only see upsides. I mean, the worst that could happen is that 10 years from now we'd have to do it again. Or that we would find that it's not quite right. And that we might have to do it slightly differently. You know, that ought not to frighten us. The other thing that I'd like to say in that regard is it is so important to recognize that every jurisdiction is different. You know, we hear all these stories about this is how it works in New Zealand, Germany, Ireland, blah, blah, blah. Most of that is meaningless. We are concerned about this province. And if you want to understand how different this province is from every other jurisdiction, just think how different we are from Alberta, the province closest to us. Okay, in Alberta, politically, everybody thinks alike. There's no diversity. It's very different. So that's a, you know, I could go on and on, but really, downsides? No.
Rob.
Yes, you seem to discount parties quite a bit. The reality of politics in Canada and throughout the world is that when people of like mind come together, they form political parties, and it seems like you're just suggesting something that totally discounts the political party situation in politics.
Thank you. If you were to read my book on that, you would not draw that conclusion. And in fact, I can state very emphatically that I'm not out to abolish political parties. I'm out to make sure that political parties become genuine instruments for citizens to engage themselves in the political process. I see a very positive role for political parties. You cannot do without party discipline either. I'm calling for lessening of party discipline, not to abolish party discipline. Okay? It's going to be very, very tough to even lessen party discipline. If you look at Carty's study of Ireland during the years that he studied Ireland, there was no lessening of party discipline. Of all the four things I mentioned, the most difficult to attain will be to lessen party discipline. To think that somehow parties are going to disappear or that there won't be party discipline. No, no. We will have a major accomplishment if we can do something that happened in England a little over a year ago, where Tony Blair had 137 of his own MPs vote against his involvement in Iraq. Now, can you imagine that that would happen in Canada? It's unthinkable. That would never happen in Canada, right? That would be, to me, if that happened in my lifetime, if we achieved that goal of independence, sufficient independence so that once in a while, your and my MOAs can stand up against the executive, that would be a wonderful achievement. So no, we're not going to see the end of parties.
F.W.
Before we revert back to Canadian values and everything else, I'd like to stay on the high of STV. Some time ago, you gave the Mel Smith Memorial Lecture at Trinity, I think. And what would Mel Smith say to you?
I was a very close. I got to know Mel Smith very, very closely during my years in Victoria. I have great regard for the late Mel Smith. He died from prostate cancer. him and I talked about these during his last years, and it took him a long time to come around. Okay, his first reaction was, it's too European, it's too foreign, it won't work, it won't fit our British system. And he had lots of objections. But I'm very pleased to report to you, and I say this honestly, that he not only supported this, he became an advisory member to Fair Voting BC. He donated money to it, and he was fully supportive of what I did.
Thank you very much.
There's a question from Anna Rankin that was sent in advance. Is there a risk that politics could become regionalized in this system and that local issues would take precedence over the good of the province as a whole?
You know, Anna, I want to thank you and all the people who wrote in. I had 11 questions, and without exception, they were so thoughtful and insightful. This, I find, the most difficult question of all. Because I think what I fear is that history will prove me wrong, whatever I say on this. Whatever anyone says about this. You know, it's all we can do is speculate. We don't really know. And it may well be that 20 years from now we need to tweak the system and give it a tune-up, and we should not be afraid of that at all. But to make hard and fast predictions as to how the behavior of MOAs will change and how the behavior of the legislature and the operations of the legislature will change, I find very, very, very difficult. But let me make a few comments. The task of protecting the province-wide interest belongs to the executive. It falls on the premier and the cabinet, not on the MOAs. The task of the MOAs is to protect local interests and to provide a check on the powers of the executive. And it's that latter that requires a measure of independence for MLAs, which they totally lack today. If we can restore that, then the legislature could possibly begin to function the way it was meant to function, in which case the province-wide interests would be served. Because under the British system, other than the, you know, in contrast to the congressional system, it really aims to invest enough power in the executive so they can look after the province-wide interest and they won't be hijacked by all these little special interests. So, you know, it is, we can say for sure that, relatively certain, that the legislature will be a more lively place. You know, earlier there was discussion about committees and so on. In New Zealand, reports have come out that the committees have a greater role. Why? Because no longer can one party stack those committees so that those committees become just totally at the mercy of cabinet. So I think you'll see that the House will become a more lively place in that sense. It is also certain that it will become a more civil place. And some people don't like that. I do. There's need for greater civility and working together and cooperation. Beyond those kind of things, those generalized kind of statements, it's very difficult to know. Under Preferential Plus, the nomination process will clean up. And you won't have to make rules or laws. It will be in the self-interest of parties to clean that up, and they will do that. So there are some things you can say with great certainty. But you got to remember that your task is limited, okay? You can only recommend a voting system that might lead to, or that could create the conditions for, or has the potential for, further democratic reforms which need to be implemented by people other than you. Okay. So you're laying the groundwork. My theory on this is, and I believe that passionately, that electoral reform is a necessary but not a sufficient condition for further parliamentary and democratic reforms. Long answer. This stuff is also interesting to me. I could talk forever.
Gladys.
Right. Has your system been tried in the world anyplace?
Yes. And Ken Cardy told you about that. I think it's in weekend five. I don't know. Ken is here someplace. It was in place in a limited way, very limited way, in Alberta and in Manitoba from the early 20s to the mid-50s. During those years, both the cities of Calgary, Edmonton, and Winnipeg used straight STV. They were one, you know, five-member, six-member, whatever, riding for their provincial elections, and AV was used in the rural areas. Exactly the same components that I suggest for BC, except that in my system, you have a much larger STV component, so therefore you get much closer to a full proportional system than you would under the other system. Now you're going to ask me, why was it dropped if it's such a good system? Why was it dropped? Purely for political reasons. No political party will ever advocate or support STV. And that tells you volumes. Okay? So they killed it for political reasons, and that's just not me talking. You can read the history on it. And it also points to another thing. Many of you are so concerned about the complexity of STV. Well, if you could find people who for 30 years in those cities voted for STV, they'll tell you it's as simple as 1, 2, 3.
The next question was one that was submitted in advance from David Wills. I believe that the 9 single-member districts in your proposal are, in a very real sense, quote, cheap seats, and that these seats can be won with relatively fewer votes than seats in the multi-member districts. With an equal number of voters per MLA, the quota in a 3-member district is 50% greater than the effective quota in a single-member district. Your comments, please. In 1 minute.
By the way, I will post or send up all of that stuff, you know, the written ones. And Sony had a great question too, and others had more questions. So all of that will come forward. But what I wrote down is, David, as usual, you're right about your facts. But in this case, I'm not sure you're right about the conclusion. I do not believe that there will be cheap seats at all. Because when you lower the bar, you do it not just for one party. You do it for all parties. So if it's easier for this party, it's easier for that party, the level of competition stays exactly the same. It'll be equally intense whether that bar is here or there. The competition will be the same. But just for argument's sake, let's suppose that you're right and that now the parties are all going to pour a little extra effort into those 9 far, remote, distant ridings. Would that not be wonderful for a change? They would welcome that.
Member from Hardy.
My question's along the same lines. In Preferential Plus, you recommend 9 single-member plurality ridings, but I believe in your submission that you also suggest of looking at running with 3 multi-member districts. Are you going to single-member plurality to sell to the referendum? Is it ultimately better, in your view, to go three multi-member districts? I'd just like your clarification on that, because it sort of changes the motives of what you're doing.
Yeah, it sure would. This is an accommodation to what I think is political reality. The northern ridings have a long history of feeling excluded. It runs very deeply into that culture there. And you combine that with the fear of the unknown, and I think you've got a recipe of disaster. they're going to say no. Whether that is, you know, somebody mentioned in the questions, if STV increases local representation as it does, then logically they should welcome it. The referendum is not going to be decided on logic. None of these things are decided on logic. They're decided on perceptions, shouting slogans. This is what I think should happen. The province should run with this system, leave those nine ridings intact, run with the system for 3-4 elections, and you will start to hear voices from within the North saying, you know, this is kind of how we should have it too. That is the time to make the change. If you do it too early, too quickly, it's going to fail. I want to include people, not fail. I believe in incrementalism. Don't push too hard too quickly. So yes, it's on my part, it's purely an accommodation to reality.
Next member, Paul.
Yeah, thank you, Nick. Actually, my question was partially asked by Anne Rankin in her written question, but I'm still a little unclear. I understand this system could effectively represent local interests or special interests and would be very effective at doing that. I'm still a little unclear how it would effectively deal with province-wide issues or broader issues. And if you can answer that question in maybe a kind of a, I couldn't understand how this method would improve, how your proposal would improve the province-wide issues.
The province-wide concerns and interests are the proper domain of the Premier and Cabinet. They are responsible. You know, under our system, they wear two hats, okay? That always confuses issues like this, right? But in a real sense, they wear two hats. In terms of their oath of office, they're duty-bound to serve the provincial interests, not their local interest, even though they also, at the same time, in the same person, represent a particular riding. The British system is very good that way. It sets up the executive so that it is free from too much interference from special interests. Like in the congressional system, you know, it's always you have to pay off everybody. It's log rolling. It's scratch my back, I'll scratch your back, and it's deal making, endlessly brokering. You have much less of that. I'm not saying it's not there. Much less of that in the British system. I want to retain that. I like that about the British system. I can't see how that in any way would be affected. The role of the Premier, of the Cabinet, the Executive Council will remain exactly as it is today. So now, there will be, the MLAs, rightfully in my mind, will be standing up for their people, more so than they do now. Okay? So there will be more pressure on the Executive to give in to some of that. It's a question of how much are we going to see of that, okay? And the whole thing will balance out, you know, because one person wants a bridge and somebody else wants, you know, also a bridge, and somehow you have to make compromise. The whole system works on compromises. But I don't think that you should fear that somehow the whole province will crunch to a halt and the only concerns will be everybody being in there looking after their own interests. We're all citizens of the province as well as citizens of a small part of it, you know.
We're going to try and get two questions in 2 minutes, a short 2 minutes. First, Tia.
Hi. Thank you for presenting today. That's been very interesting. I was just wondering if you could please elaborate on your usage of the word safe.
Yep.
You some writings will still be safe, and then PP eliminates safe seats.
Yeah.
And my second part of the question is, on page 14, you say, "Will certainly, almost certainly, in a typical election, result in a coalition government."
Yeah.
I'm just wondering about stability and accountability, and what your feelings are on that.
Excellent questions. A safe seat is a seat that you could run a fence post with hair on it, and it would get elected. You know, I mean, the vote is for the party and the leader. The local candidate could be Donald Duck or Goofy. It doesn't matter. They'll get elected. And there are very high percentage of seats like that in every election. Okay, I mean, one example, Vancouver East. Vancouver East has voted NDP, CCF, Labour for as long as anybody can remember. There was only one exception, 53 to 56, when it went social credit. Okay, that's a safe seat. Now, suppose you live in that riding and you're not of political left persuasion. You've never had the opportunity to be represented by someone like you for three generations now. Okay, that's a safe seat. You'll have none of that under SDV. There are no safe seats. Why? Because people can vote for the party and the leader, but you have three or four options of individual candidates. So there's an element in which it may be safe for the party, but it's not safe for this incumbent. Okay? So when you the vote under Preferential Plus is always a combination of something about this person, this candidate, as well as the party and other things. Okay. Your other question was about coalition government. You know, in reference to earlier discussions, it is very important to get something straight. There is a huge difference between minority government and coalition government. Okay? Under a more proportional system, you have coalition governments. Under our system, first past the post, you have minority governments. The two are totally different. The minority governments and the first past the post are always unstable, weak, and fall frequently, okay, and generate new elections. Coalition governments seldom do. But, you know, other speakers, the Vancouver Sun, including Vaughn Palmer, gets this all wrong. And I'm so glad he came out today so we could educate him.
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you.
I'm only kidding. He sure knows how to make a good concluding statement, doesn't he? I'm sorry we ran out of time for questions. Mr. Lunan will be around, and he'll be here during the break, and so if individuals wish to give him a question, you may. He has agreed, by the way, as have all presenters, have agreed to give us a written response to the questions which we have given in writing. And I know a number of you, he's already spoken to you about that. Our next presenter is Chris Morey. Chris, welcome.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I got to tell you how thrilled I am to be invited to make a presentation to you. All eyes are on this assembly from across Canada, if not around the world. And I think that it is something that is so important. I've heard the word innovative used, whereby when you get ordinary citizens from across the province to deliberate on issues affecting all of us, that should be the standard, not just an innovation. So I wanted to commend you on that work. The other thing is that I am thrilled and very humbled to be among the caliber of the presenters here today. It's hard to go after some of these people, but I'll give it a try. My presentation, as you know, the written presentation, is probably the shortest one. And the reason for that is because I have only two messages. One is that maintain local representation and don't increase the size of the ridings. I am opposed to increased ridings, and you may ask why. The answer is that they just don't work. I'll give you an example. Now, this is not an electoral riding, but it's certainly a region within our province that does make policy decisions and act on behalf of the people, and those are our health regions. And the one I'm going to talk about briefly is the Northern Health Authority. Now, what I'm going to say to you, I've already said to the Minister of Health, so I feel quite free in having this conversation. But when you look at a region that is as large and represents the health interests of two-thirds of this province, it is too large, it is too unwieldy, it is not addressing the issues on a sub-regional basis as it should, And back in May, we had the North Central Municipal Association Conference happen in Fort Nelson. And at that time, a resolution was passed. So this will give you an indication what the North thinks of big ridings. A resolution was passed that the Minister of Health be lobbied to reduce the size of these areas into smaller, manageable units, and that they be managed by elected officials. Now, the province has already clearly said that these will be appointed people. And no discredit to the people that are on the board of directors for this regional health authority. But it's just too big. It doesn't work. Another area, as an example of large areas that just don't work because they don't meet the needs of the majority of the people that live within them, is in Quebec. Just recently, there was, over the last couple of years, there was an amalgam of smaller areas into one larger or mega city type of concept, and they've just held a referendum, I believe it was in June, to disband that. So I don't believe that has been implemented, but again, it gives you an indication that bigger is not always better. We also have within the Northeast region, or representing the Northeast region, our federal riding. Now, that's a little bit bigger than Peace River North and Peace River South, although it does include both of those ridings, but it also includes the Prince George area. Now, on a federal level, that probably doesn't work too bad because the federal issues tend to be slightly different and sometimes significantly different than provincial issues. But when you look at again, getting back to health, when you look at that situation, we have the city of Prince George, and of course their hospital, it's a great hospital, but it's deemed a regional health center, and the people in the Northeast don't use it. We go to either Grand Prairie, Edmonton, or Vancouver. So the point I'm trying to make there is that there must be some commonality within the region so that the people that are located and live and work in that region have a relationship to each other in some way, shape, or form. One of the questions, and I'd actually like to kind of go to that, because when we speak on both local representation and geography, there was actually two questions, if I may, that I'd like to answer. Again, I had a number of questions, all very good, all very broad-based, but these two I'd actually like to bring forward at this time. The first question was from Glenn McKinnon. And he asked, why is there such emphasis placed on the desirability of local representation? And here is my answer. And it's in addition to representational clarity and accountability. There are really two points to consider. First, clarity is important around what is actually meant by local representation. Is it simply someone elected to represent a local area, or is it someone local elected to represent the local area? And in the North, the latter is actually how that is defined. And I just wanted to make that clear, that when I'm speaking about local representation, that is what I'm referring to. Although contradictory to a system of fair proportionality, the election of a local representative through our current plurality system has, for the most part, served the province well, especially in northern and remote areas of this province where populations are small. And for all its flaws, it has indeed been the only way these areas had any voice at all. The majority of British Columbians do not live in the North, even though it is two-thirds the size of our province. And for all its vastness, the North's population represents a minority voice. Life in the North and northern concerns are often very different from those of our neighbors in the rest of the province. And we were asked this morning before lunch to consider whether or not we as individual presenters would support the decision made by the Citizens Assembly when you do make a decision about what system, if there is to be a change, that you will recommend. And my answer to that is that, first of all, it will go to referendum and the people of British Columbia will speak. And but I wanted to point out, though, that that, of course, is the democratic process, and where individual voters will state their opinion on whatever electoral system that you recommend. But keep in mind, the majority of British Columbians do not live in the north. In other words, the Lower Mainland will carry the vote. So I implore you that when you are deliberating on the systems, that, and I know you will, take a very broad view to ensure that all regions of this province are taken into consideration, including and especially the north. Because at the end of the day, and I know that when the referendum results are coming in, you will be looking, I'm sure they will also be reported per region, and if not writing, and have a look at that and see how people around the province are responding. We hope that, depending on what you recommend, that that it is consistent throughout the province. Otherwise, we could have a situation where people in the southern part of the province voted in favor, the people in the north did not, or vice versa. So I think that to achieve the greatness and the potential for greatness that this organization and this assembly has to make good changes in British Columbia, and there does need to be change to our electoral system, that it is something that everybody in British Columbia can adopt as being their own. Predominantly, it's been through the local representation that this minority voice is brought to the legislature, and why it is imperative to have an identifiable representative in each of these ridings. The second point on local representation is that when we talk about representation, we've got to remember, too, that not all MLAs, including cabinet ministers, are familiar with every single region of this province. It doesn't mean that they don't have a general sense of it, but they may not know specifically. An MLA from Vancouver Island may not know the specific issues involved with the North, and vice versa. So this can manifest itself in public policy decisions based on a one-size-fits-all approach that may benefit some areas of the province and not others. Local representatives of each of the electoral districts, however, do bring a more detailed level of knowledge and awareness of the unique concerns and issues facing their constituents. Even though this situation has improved in recent years, it should be a matter addressed on an ongoing basis through the electoral system rather than only on the policies of the government of the day. And if I may just address one more question, and this is in relationship to geography. And the question is from Wendy Bergerand. I hope I have pronounced that correctly, Wendy. SNP assumes that we, this is her question, SNP assumes that we should be grouped by where we live. Why should our geographic location be our fundamental group association for election? And my answer is, in many parts of the province, and particularly in the north, where communities are separated by vast distances and have small populations, geographic grouping is not only the most obvious type of grouping, it is also the simplest and most practical. Individuals grouped by northern geography oftentimes share more than space. Most of these people live in resource-based communities, thereby sharing economic concerns. They also share social concerns, especially those relating to availability of and access to health, education, other social services, public safety, and housing. Transportation services and infrastructure, along with distance from major centers, are other shared concerns. Demographics, lifestyle, and more often than not, political ideologies make geographic location a fundamental group association for election. If a forest fire or a flood or a hurricane came through your town or city, you would quickly see how much geography matters and just how much you have in common with your neighbor down the street. Especially if these services, and many of that I've mentioned, are provincial, if they were negatively affected. So those are the main points of what I would like to point out, with the exception of one more thing, and it's just on the preferential vote. I'm not making a comment on whether I think that's good, bad, or indifferent, but people do vote preferentially. And on a municipal basis, where we have, and in fact it's similar in most communities across British Columbia, but you have so many seats and so many candidates, and so therefore you could have, depending on the size of your community, 4, 6, or 8 first-past-the-post winners. When people actually decide to vote for candidates, even if they have 4 choices or 6 choices, and they're not required to select all the available seats or choices, they do so preferentially. You probably do it yourself, and you think about when you go to vote, and you think about, you know, I really like this candidate, but I'm really going to have to think about the other two, or and especially when it gets down to the fourth candidate or maybe the sixth candidate. So people already do it. And where I've really noticed this is that in many of your communities, your voting systems are computerized. Well, in our community, it isn't. We count by hand. We will eventually change that. But so when you're sitting there, and I've been on both sides of the ballot, so it's one is more nerve-wracking than others, I can tell you. But the so we see the votes individually as they're being counted. And what we've noticed is that in situations where you have maybe, in our case, on our town council, we have 4 councillors, that there are more than you think the number of votes that go through that do not vote for 4 people. Many vote for 1. Some will vote for 2. It's strategic voting. And as one of the presenters said this morning, I have no objection to strategic voting either. I think individuals have the right to vote how they want to vote. And so we already vote preferentially anyway, and strategically, but it is, even in a small town, and even those places where it's computerized and you see cumulative results, I'm quite sure that that is the case also in your towns and cities. So those are only the points I wanted to make, and leave it to you.
Thank you very much. Shawnee.
In regards to local representation, we heard in a lot of the hearings people saying that currently they're finding the current system is giving local representation that's not necessarily responsive, that it's constrained by party discipline. Wanted to see whether you found that the case in your situation, and if that is the case, how could we improve on the current situation? Because you said, you know, what things not to change, but how could it improve?
Well, in our case, in our riding, historically in the Northeast, people tend to vote, when I was talking about political ideologies, they tend to vote one way. And I don't ever remember, maybe prior to the 70s, but I don't think there's ever been a time when a representative has been elected from our area that hasn't been right-leaning. We haven't had any, not to my knowledge, any left-leaning candidates. So that's number one. So that I think right-leaning candidates that run in the area probably have a better chance of winning, I suppose. That may change in down the road, but right now it hasn't. So the other thing is that the person that has been elected not only with a majority vote, but also representing the popular vote. So you know that the accountability is there. So people can quickly point their finger and say, you know what, you said you were going to do this and you didn't. There was no blurring of the lines there, and that was the same with our MP. Now, in terms of whether or not people are doing a good job when they run for office is something that the electorate, if it's a provincial, well, you have an opportunity to remove them 4 years from now. On a local level, it's every 3 years the report card comes in. But I think when people offer themselves to run, and I really do believe it comes down to the person, because if somebody is putting themselves forward to run to represent the interests of the local area and are not doing the proper job there, then maybe those people shouldn't be offering themselves for election, for one thing. The second thing is, and certainly you could remove them, the second thing is if party politics do get involved, well, certainly, I think that from, again, and I only speak for my area, that the MLA, who is also our Minister of Energy and Mines, is doing a very good job up there. If he wasn't, or started, you know, talking more about party line than with local concerns and whatnot, I think the people would be very unhappy with that. And I think that would be true anywhere in the province. But again, it's the ability to, I know we have recall legislation, you know, in the province. I don't know how successful that has been. But on the other hand, I'm not sure what the solution to that is, but I think it comes right down to the individuals running, and I think we have a very, very intelligent public, and we do talk about safe seats, and we do talk about people that, well, if you run just like an area, you know, if you're right-leaning, chances are you have a good chance of at least being competitive for the seat. But other than that, I'm not quite sure what that answer is, except that people really have to take political office, I don't care if it's local, provincial, or federal, very, very seriously. And so that when they are, I consider myself as an elected official representing, as a representative of the people, and that's how I see provincial and federal. And so if the party position is then overriding that, you need to talk to your representative. But I don't know what the clear answer for it is.
Next member question from Jim.
Yes. I'm not quite clear on you and your people in your area. Do you want to see change in the reform? And another thing, our mandate only says that we have 79 seats, and that's where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
And so could you tell me if you'd like to see change in our government?
Yes, I think we need to see change in the government. What I'm saying, and I think our people in the North are saying, is that certainly if change is indicated, nobody wants to see a repeat of what happened in 1996. We want to see the popular vote properly represented. There's no question about that. But as long as that can be addressed while maintaining the current size of our boundary and local representation, we would have no objection to that. I hope that has clarified that, Jim.
Sorry, next member, Rob, please.
Jim kind of asked part of the question I was going to ask is because I'm kind of confused. You say that you want to maintain the local representation, don't increase the size of the boundaries, but you want proportionality.
A measure of it.
A measure of it.
Mm-hmm.
But in most cases, if, as I understand, to get some degree of proportionality, they probably will have to change to some degree the size of the riding to accommodate that somehow. And what about also, I'm assuming that your members weren't voted in by acclamation. So, I mean, you're saying that they always seem to get a majority up there on the right side of the political spectrum. What about the people that voted not for the right and aren't being represented by the local representative up there, if you take my meaning?
Well, I don't have the statistics with me on what the actual vote count was in the last provincial election, but I know on the federal level, also right-leaning, the second person coming up behind the winner wasn't even a close second. I mean, there was a vast, vast vote difference. It was something like 60,000 to 5,000 or whatever. Now, not to diminish that, of course, but at the same time, I think what the intent of the voters was is that this particular person be elected, and I think it was clearly expressed, both popular vote and the actual vote. Now, on a provincial level, when we go back, I'm quite careful whether I say majority vote or the most votes. I know the last one was a majority vote. Now, whether in the past it's been a majority or the most votes, I would have to look at the numbers for that. But that's where I see some measure of proportionality coming into play. On the other hand, I think that we have heard over the last, well, this morning, and certainly the submissions that were presented also to us as presenters, that there are a number of systems and models that have been suggested that don't increase the boundary but still maintain the local representation. Now, the other, someone else had mentioned too, the possibility of topping up. And what we're saying is that keep those two principles in place. That's a core value of the North, local representation. And, smaller electoral areas are the same. But on the other hand, that if there was a topping up, in other words, if there was sort of a regional, broader focus without creating a hierarchy between MLAs, that would, say, maybe even be addressed at the, or using our federal boundaries as the example, could be another way to do it. Again, I'm very careful not to come out in favor of one system over another. I don't know enough about each of the systems to be able to make that determination. But I'm hearing about some possibilities here that could address the northern concern to uphold both of those principles. Did I answer your question?
I think so, yeah. Just maybe a quick supplementary. So I'll think about it and ask you later.
Okay.
Okay, Jill, please. Where is Jill? Right
there. Actually, both Jim and Rob addressed my question. Thanks.
Okay, then I'm going to... David, I was about to ask your question. You have sent several in advance, but do you want to try and do it now, but more briefly, perhaps in five paragraphs?
Yeah, there was three questions to that one question.
Well, I would appreciate a written response to that one, but I try and make it brief. I'm really confused. What I'm hearing you say on one hand is that you want to retain your single member districts as you have today with no increase in size.
Mm-hmm.
Given that we cannot increase the number of MLAs in the province as part of our mandate, there is no way we can achieve proportionality, any degree of proportionality, with that constraint. There are ways we can do that in the rest of the province and exclude Peace River North and other districts. But that would create a sort of two-tier system where the voters in Peace River North would not receive the benefits of proportional representation, all of them.
Mm-hmm. Maybe
There's some concern about having a two-tier system when you have sort of the rest of the province benefits from some PR system and those districts, remote districts, do not. But if you're comfortable with that, I'm comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. So the real question is, are you comfortable with having been a part of a tier system where you're left untouched and the rest of the province, well, most of the rest of the province, does something different?
Well, that's a possibility. And maybe I'll read you the answer that I have prepared to that that question. Maybe we'll start with the first part, if I may do that, because it is a three-part question. And the first part of the question, I'll read David's statement. He says, I appreciate your statement that proportionality is important to the province, but Fort Nelson and the Northern Rockies do not want to see any reduction in their provincial representation. I understand that all systems of proportional representation inevitably have some impact on local representation. I would appreciate how you view the following potential impacts of proportional representation for Peace River North. A. A system with reduced local representation, perhaps by removing as many as half of the MLAs from their local constituency role, potentially balanced a corresponding increase in regional representation. B. Retaining the same number of local MLAs but have them elected in a proportional way from multi-member districts, which would naturally be larger than today. And C, in some way exclude Peace River North and similar districts from the system that is used in the rest of the province so you can retain your existing single-member district. This would result in some sort of two-tier system and not provide any of the benefits of proportionality for your district. So the first part of that, A, I've said currently
There is, and by way of example, a Northern Caucus made up of MLAs, and some are also cabinet ministers from the Northern Ridings, who work to address Northern issues in a broad sense. However, it is not seen at the individual riding level as supplanting local representation. People will still contact their individual MLAs, even though there's this group sort of overseeing, but not in a formal way, but more in a way that, because each of those MLAs are accountable to their particular ridings. In the Northeast, which has two ridings, there are only two MLAs. So to reduce this representation by half would be to place the responsibility for this huge region on the shoulders of one person. The region is simply too large and too diverse for that to be beneficial to the people who live there. The second part, people in my riding, especially the Northern Rockies portion of Peace River North, have been very clear that they do not want to see the boundaries of the riding enlarged. To do so would reduce local representation, which is one of their core values. And the third part, I believe there is merit in looking at a number of models that could achieve this while retaining some measure of proportionality. And again, what we're looking at is making sure the popular vote is somehow accounted for. Now, as stated previously, issues in the North are often very different from those in the other areas of the province, and perhaps the North should have a different system, but not necessarily one that creates a two-tiered electoral system. When you talk about two-tier, I think of one being higher than the other. Okay. And that's how I perceive it, yeah. So, and we certainly wouldn't want that. And again, that gets to the issue of hierarchy within the MLAs. However, there are also models that would have been, that have been suggested that could be applied provincially that would still provide for local representation in each of the ridings without enlarging the riding. I think we heard of one this morning, based on, the STV and, and on the regional district boundary model. And and there are other systems as well that I think could possibly work, mixed systems. And when I say mixed system, I'm referring to, say, north-south, which could mean two different systems. It could be an urban-rural system. Those would be complicated to me. But there are variations. And until, you know, I know you would want to have a more detailed look at all of these before you start making your final decision, and I know you will. But there has to be a way that the North and the Northern Ridings can maintain local representation without boundary increases, because that affects local representation. And again, I don't know enough about each of the models to be able to comment with sureness on it, but there's got to be a way to accommodate somehow the people that perhaps, the popular vote, in other words. We don't want to see that happen in our riding. So I'm not quite sure how you would achieve that, but that's your challenge. Good luck. Okay.
One last quick question, Julie.
Chris, I had the opportunity of attending the public hearing both in here in Fort Nelson and Fort St. John and Dawson Creek. And the first meeting was in your community. And you gave a presentation there, of course. And afterwards, a number of the people in the audience, we had the opportunity to speak with them. And a couple of them brought up the point that they did want to see proportionality. And mm-hmm. I asked them, well, would you be willing... because I don't believe it's written in our mandate, but we've been discouraged from touching the number of seats. Would you be willing to see an increase in the size of the riding in order to have some semblance of proportionality? And a number of people at all three of those northern meetings, including at yours, said yes, they would. Have you had any feedback?
Yes.
Okay.
And the feedback that I have gotten is the same position that I presented at that hearing, which is essentially what is attached to your package today, that most people up there do not want to see the writing in
language. Okay, I just found it interesting mm-hmm. that all three meetings people did say they,
yes.
they would.
And I'm sure there are. But I don't believe, until proven otherwise, that that
sure.
represents even a close majority
okay.
to what the people
Thank
are
you.
Saying. Thank you.
Good, and thank you very, very much, Chris.
Thank you. Great, thank you, Jeff.
We do have a break. We're running a little bit behind, but not terribly much. But so we'll be back here at 3 o'clock. You can either go for a walk, which would be a good idea, or get some coffee, which is probably not bad. 3 o'clock sharp.